The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. For many of you, the 23rd Psalm, it may have been some of the first verses you memorized as a child. You may have them printed on a plaque somewhere in your home. This is one of the most well-known chapters in the entire Bible. It's been quoted at weddings. It's been quoted at funerals. It's been quoted by men who are at the pinnacle of their life and enjoying all the blessings that God has given them. And it's been quoted by the trembling soldier on the battlefield. The 23rd Psalm doesn't begin by pouring out a bunch of problems or laments before God. The 23rd Psalm isn't filled with requests like often we'll pray today. From beginning to end, the 23rd Psalm is a praise towards God. The first verse opens up with praise. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And that praise continues line after line after line all the way through the 23rd Psalm. Now, if you'll notice, there is a little subscript up at the top. It says the 23rd Psalm is a Psalm of David. Now, we don't know for sure when in David's life he wrote this psalm, but we do know a little bit about David's early life, that before he became the great king of Israel, he was a shepherd. He knew what it meant to be a shepherd. He knew what it meant to have to watch after sheep. We also know about David that he had a very close relationship with God. The 23rd Psalm is an expression of confidence and trust and satisfaction in the Lord. But one thing that I want for you to notice from the 23rd Psalm, and this is very important, is this peace with God. It's only found when we have a deep, unwavering relationship with God. Let me read through it again. And this time, as we're reading through the 23rd Psalm, what I want for you to think about is notice how much the Lord means to David. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I want to read through the 23rd Psalm another time, but this time what I want for you to notice is we've noticed just how much the Lord was everything to David. But notice how it didn't just stop with what the Lord meant to David, but also how it impacted David's life. I'm going to read it with just a little bit different emphasis this time. Instead of emphasizing the Lord, I'm going to emphasize David. I'm going to emphasize how much the Lord impacted his life. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. God was David's most important possession. David belonged to God, and God belonged to David. The peace that David enjoyed, it was found because of that deep relationship that he had with God. Now, one of the great blessings of the 23rd Psalm, and really what I hope that you will take away from the 23rd Psalm this morning, is that from the 23rd Psalm, we can learn how David thought. We can learn how a believer in God is supposed to think. David begins, he says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And really, in some ways, the entire psalm, it revolves around that one theme, that with the Lord as my shepherd, I shall not want. I shall not lack for anything that I need. That's how David thought. And as we're studying the 23rd Psalm this morning, I want for you to ask yourself, is that how I think? And if it's not, then how can I improve my relationship with God so that that can be the way that I think about life? Let's begin by starting with verse 1. We read, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Now notice verse 2. "He makes me to lie down in green pastures." With the Lord as my shepherd, I shall not want for sustenance. You know, a good shepherd, he always will make sure that his sheep have what they need to live. He'll make sure that they have plenty of pastures to feed on. A good shepherd isn't going to leave his sheep in some field with a bunch of bristles and dried up grass where there's nothing, where they aren't going to have what they need. He's going to make sure that his sheep have what they need to survive. For the child of God, the essentials for physical life and for spiritual life, they will always be provided for us. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 31 through 33, Jesus reminded us, He said, "Therefore, do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat?' or 'What shall we drink?' or 'What shall we wear?' For after these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows the things you need before you ask. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. But the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want for my daily needs, for my sustenance." But not only that, we're not going to lack what we need for spiritual sustenance. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, Jesus said, He was in speaking to Satan, He said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." In John chapter 6, verse 35, Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never be thirsty, or shall never be hungry. He who believes in me shall never thirst." In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, we read, "His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His glory and virtue." As Christians, we need never to fear or to grow discouraged that somehow we're not going to have enough wealth to live off of, or that we're not going to have enough food to put on the table, or that God's word somehow just won't quite provide us enough encouragement to make it through whatever we're facing. We're also reminded that green pastures are not something that we have to achieve on our own. We don't have to take it under our own control to go find greener pastures, to go find what we're going to need to survive. We have a promise from our God that if He is our shepherd, we shall not want for sustenance. Now go with me to the second half of verse 2. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. With the Lord as my shepherd, I shall not want for refreshment. From what I hear, sheep aren't very good swimmers. Now, you can imagine that as a sheep, if you were to take them to a river where the water's moving, if that sheep gets out there even just a few feet, that current could sweep the sheep off its feet and take them down the river. A good shepherd knows that, and he's not going to put his sheep in danger. He's going to lead them to still waters, to waters that are safe, where they can get the refreshment that they need. He restores my soul. That is, he revives our soul. He gives us what we need for spiritual refreshment. The good shepherd does not leave his sheep wearied and anxious and tired. With the Lord as my shepherd, I shall not want for refreshment. The child of God shall not want for a relaxation and rest whenever that is needed. And you know, life can be hard. It can be disheartening. It can be discouraging when we see so much wicked around us in the world. Sometimes just the stresses of life, you know, they can really make us feel worn out. But consider the promise of Jesus in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 29. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. In the book of Hebrews, was written maybe by Paul. We don't know who wrote Hebrews for sure. He didn't sign his name to it, but it was written to Jewish Christians, and Jewish Christians who knew the old law really well. And among the old law, they knew the importance of the Sabbath. They knew that it was a blessing that God had given them a day each week to rest. Now, from a worldly perspective, you know, most of the world, although it's not a religious thing, most of the world will take the weekend off. Because most people realize that having a little bit of rest and vacation and relaxation every now and then is important. Now, I don't want for you to get the wrong idea. When I say that he restores our soul, we shall not want for refreshment, that doesn't necessarily mean that you're not going to feel worn out. In the book of Hebrews, and drawing a parallel, that Christians, did you know that Christians, we do have a Sabbath? I'm not talking about Sunday. I'm not talking about any particular day of the week. But Christians do have a rest. And in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 8 through 10, and reminding Christians what this rest is that we have, it's written, there remains a rest for the people of God. That means there remains a Sabbath. He who has entered his rest has himself ceased from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. When I read this, I think about my mom. My mom was one of the hardest working Christians, and you can ask Allison. She'd get worn out sometimes. She'd be running from one thing to another and have 20 things on her plate at one time. But she was a hard worker, and her hardest work was for the church and for getting her Bible class ready on Sunday morning. Coming up on, not quite 2 years ago, she passed away. And one of the greatest encouragements to me is knowing that she has now ceased from her work. She is now enjoying that rest that she deserved so much. God has promised us that we shall not want for refreshment. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want for direction. He says in the end of verse 3, He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. As Christians, we don't have to be left wondering which way we're supposed to go or how we're supposed to live our life. The follower of God shall never want for the direction that he needs. Isaiah chapter 42, verse 16, I will bring the blind by a way that they did not know, and I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light for them and not forsake them. And Psalm 119, 105, Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 23, For the commandment is a lamp and the law a light. Reproofs and instructions are the way of life. And in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you will do well to heed as a light shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart. But the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want for refreshment. I shall not want for the daily sustenance that I need, and I shall not want for direction. God has not left it up to us to try to figure out the best way to do Christianity. He hasn't left it up to us to try to figure out what way the church is best going to succeed. He tells us. He tells us how we're supposed to live our life. And if we follow that, He will lead us in the paths of righteousness. In other words, He will lead us in the right way to go. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want for direction. With the Lord as my shepherd, I shall not want for companionship. Read on. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. When leading sheep, maybe he's leading them from a green pasture over to the still waters, or for whatever reason he may be leading him, you know, sometimes that might require going through some dangerous terrain, some difficult terrain. And sheep, from what I hear, they're pretty clumsy animals. Sheep can take one misstep and tumble off the side of a cliff. But yet the shepherd's there, and you can almost imagine the pictures that maybe you saw of a shepherd and VBS, and he's got the big hook on the end of his staff. And that staff is there for multiple reasons. It can be used for defense of the sheep to keep them safe. And it can be used if they're walking through this dangerous place to hook it around the end of a sheep and pull them towards the direction that they're supposed to go. His rod and his staff are a comfort. Without the shepherd, the sheep would not be able to make it down those difficult paths. For the Christian, the fears of life are chased away when we remember that God is walking right beside us with His rod and His staff. Think about this. You may have a very close friend here on earth. You may be very close to your family. And you know what? That person may be with you no matter what you face in life. They may be with you holding your hand all the way to the point of death. But you know something? When death comes, there is not a single earthly companion that we have who will be able to be with us through that valley of the shadow of death. But think about Jesus. He's been there. He died on the cross. He went through that valley of the shadow of death, and yet He rose again. When every other companion will be forced to stay behind, we will not be alone. We will have a companion there to lead us through the valley of the shadow of death. With the Lord as my shepherd, I shall not want for protection. Notice he says, you prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. As a shepherd, we know that David, multiple times, he would have to protect his sheep from lions and bears. How often does God protect us from dangers that might surround us? One of my favorite historical accounts in the Bible is that of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. Here they are, and they're facing death, and they're thrown in the furnace because they refused to bow down to the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And yet God was right there with them, protecting them from those flames. He protected Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and He will protect us from our enemies as well. Paul reminds us in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 3, that the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 18, and the Lord will deliver you from every evil work and preserve me for His heavenly kingdom. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust for punishment in the day of judgment. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with temptation will also make the way of escape, so that you may be able to bear it. With the Lord as my shepherd, I shall not want for protection. We don't have to act out of fear for what we think our enemies might do to us if we don't follow, if we don't do what they want. We're promised protection from our shepherd. With the Lord as my shepherd, I shall not want for blessings. Verse 5, you anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. This anointing, it was anointing was used as a way to express that God was happy or favorable towards someone, that He was appointing them towards something. The anointing of oil was used as a way to honor someone, just as, you know, Mary anointed Jesus with ointment. Remember in John chapter 11, verse 2. And David says, my cup runs over. God is not a stingy shepherd. He gives us everything we need and more. In John chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, Jesus says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 through 21. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that is at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 11, for so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly. I remember one of my mom's favorite songs was Count Your Many Blessings. And I know that Allison may have seen them also, but sometimes if you're looking through her stuff, you'll find lists that she would make where she would get out a sheet of paper and write down blessing after blessing after blessing of things that she would think of. Maybe we should do that a little more often. Our cup runs over if we will take the time to just remember how much our good shepherd has given us. The child of God shall never want for blessings. The psalm is concluded in verse 6. And this, in verse 6, is in a way it could be viewed as a commitment that David is making. In a way it could be viewed as an implied promise. David says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David loved the Lord. The Lord was everything to him. He knew the promise of God, that with God as his shepherd, he would not want for anything. David knew that he would not want for the daily sustenance he needed. He would not want for the refreshment that he needed to keep going. He would not want for the direction and guidance he needed. He would not want for companionship, even in the valley of the shadow of death. He would not want for protection from his enemies. And he would never be at want for the blessings that God would give him. David was in no way ever going to entertain the thought of somehow quitting or giving up on God. Just like with sheep, there may be times in life that we get very upset, that we get disturbed, that we may get overwhelmed with the things that happen around us. But the peace that comes from our good shepherd brings us to a place where we don't have to worry. We don't have to worry about life. We don't have to be discouraged with personal failures. We don't have to be disheartened when we see so much wickedness in the world around us that just seems to grow worse and worse. You know, the basic meaning of I shall not want is I'm not going to lack for anything. Is this your mindset? Is this the way of thinking that you have brought yourself to think because of your relationship with God? Have you made the commitment that I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, no matter what may come? Again, John chapter 10, verses 9 through 11, Jesus says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pastures. The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Are you part of his fold? Most of you in here probably are. Most of you can remember back to the day when you were baptized, when you did enter into that fold by the good shepherd, through him. But if not, why wait? If you were enter into the fold and have Jesus Christ as your shepherd, as your good shepherd, you have his promise that you shall not want for anything. Or maybe you are part of that shepherd, but maybe you've just kind of lost sight of the fact that the good shepherd is there with us every step of the way. Maybe you've been distracted by the shadow of death around you, or by the enemies and by the hardships of life around you. Maybe you haven't opened your eyes to the green pastures that he's promised to provide for you, or for the refreshment, the still waters. And maybe because of that, you've given your heart over to the world and to the concerns around you rather than just trusting in the shepherd and following in the path of righteousness that he has led before you. If you're not part of that great kingdom, if you're not part of that fold, you enter that pasture through him, through his death, burial, and resurrection, and through baptism in the waters, raising from the dead along with Christ. Or if you need our prayers, now is an opportunity. If you need to respond, would you come while we sing?